Colossians chapter number 1 and Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll begin to push this in earnest Sunday, but I will say to both junior campers and teen campers, there's a big stack of white papers on the back information desk. That is your camp registration form and your medical form. And everyone, whether they're going to junior camp or teen camp, have to have those filled out. And so if you would think about just going through and getting them tonight, I don't absolutely have to have them turned in until the latest I can get them is the Sunday before we leave. But it would, if you could just get them and fill them out and get them to me, then that'd be something we could just have done. So I wanted to mention that those were available. Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? Then let's stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now who's that? All right, good, because we're going to talk about him here. In whom we have redemption, in whom, we're talking about Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, that's Jesus Christ's blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, and again, we're talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, we're talking about who? Good. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that are in earth. And I want to draw your attention to this next little phrase, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 11. And we'll begin reading in verse number 23, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And by the way, all of these decisions that's being outlined doesn't make a hoot of sense from a visible, temporal standpoint. I mean, if all you could see was the visible, then you'd got to look at Moses. I mean, if you're an old lost Egyptian, an old pagan Egyptian, you know, down at the store, did you hear about Moses? He went off the deep end. And he's lost it. Did you hear what he walked away from? Did you hear what he chose? Do you hear what he turned his back on? Now, why did he do that? Well, the Egyptians were all looking at the visible. But Moses was looking at something else. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight to learn to see the invisible. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, based on the scriptures we just read, I want to just in introduction make 5 statements. We'll get you out early tonight. How many believe that? Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I love it when they doubt me. It's all right. Okay. Make 5 statements. Then I'm going to give you the sermon outline. We're going to look at some Bible illustrations. Then we're going to go home. 5 statements concerning what we just read. Now, stay with me at the beginning here. Number 1, during the act of creation, Jesus Christ, of course, all of the Trinity was involved in creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all were active, participants in creation. And during the act of creation, Jesus Christ created both the visible and the invisible. Agree with that? That's what we read, right? Number two, I want you to think about these things. Most all visible is temporal. Most all invisible is eternal. Most all that is visible is natural. Most all that is invisible is supernatural. That's just the way it is. You say, well, wait a minute, we're eternal. People are eternal, not the parts you see.
That's right.
You can't see Jerry Ross. No, no, not the soul. Not the eternal part, not the part that's going to last forever. And I can't see you. I see the temporal shell. Okay, number three. The visible clamors, young people, listen to me. The visible clamors for your attention. The invisible waits quietly, unseen, and often ignored. Number four. It takes no special ability to see the visible. But it takes a gift of God to see the invisible.
Amen.
Number five, the last statement. If you cannot see the invisible, now this is so important because this is what we're building up to. If you cannot see the invisible, Christian, if you cannot see the invisible, you will live for the temporal. If you can see the invisible, you will live for the eternal. Let me say that again. If you cannot see the invisible, you will live for the temporal. Because that's all you can see. But if you can develop, if you can ask God for this gift, this ability to see the invisible, you will live for the eternal. Now, Pastor Jerry, put it down where we understand this. Sounds a little spooky. Okay, let me just make it very plain what I'm saying when I talk about the ability to see the invisible. Okay? When I say that, I mean that a Christian can, through the grace of God, grow to the point in their life where they have a moment-by-moment awareness of the supernatural. And you can live there. Oh, you can live there. Where you are aware constantly of what most people cannot see. Remember in Colossians chapter 1, when it was talking about Jesus, it said, who is the image of the invisible God? Do you know God is invisible?
Sure.
And Jesus, who came down and took upon him the form of flesh, became an image, a visible product of what we'd never been able to see to that point. But God is invisible. So most people, not just lost people, I'm afraid a lot of Christians, go through life and they see circumstances. They see what they can see, but they never really see the hand of God behind the circumstances. They're not really aware of God. You know why? Because they can't see. They're aware of what they can see. Whatever their eyes take in, that's what they're concentrating on. That's what they're thinking about. That's what becomes important to them. But they don't have this supernatural vision. And I don't mean something spooky. I'm not seeing where you see images and ghosts and visions. I'm talking about an awareness that there are some things that God created that are invisible. And those tend to be the most important things. Okay? God is invisible. If you're going to be aware of God moment by moment throughout the day, you're going to develop the ability to see the invisible. The souls of men are invisible. And you can look at somebody and you can get in the habit of just seeing the shell. And just seeing this person and that person. There's a difference between a person who looks at people and just sees the masses or the multitude or even the individual, but has no eternal thought. Or a person who walks through and when he sees somebody, when he shakes hands with somebody, when he interacts with somebody at the grocery store or at the gas station, he's aware, moment by moment, aware that he is shaking the hand, the shell that contains an eternal, invisible soul. Some people are only aware of the places they can see. And they're not aware of the places they can't see. I need to get from this point to this point, and then we're going to go to here, and then we're going to go to store to here, and we're going to go to here, and there's Terre Haute, and there's Jacksonville, and there's Bloomington, and there's Indianapolis, and there's also hell. Oh yes, there's also hell. There's also heaven. But you see, you're not going to think much about them if you don't develop the ability to see the invisible part of creation. You know, oh Lord, make me aware of the part of creation that I can't see, because that is the eternal part of creation. Sometimes you go soul winning, young people, and you go to a door and you aren't treated well, or you maybe are getting somewhere talking to somebody, and all of a sudden an interruption comes, distraction presents itself, and you can walk away and say, oh, what bad luck. And we fail to be aware that every time we try to present the gospel to somebody, if we could have the scales to fall from our eyes, we would see that there is a supernatural demonic warfare going around us, doing everything possible to try to keep that person from hearing the gospel. Folks, you think you're going to win that in the power of the flesh, you're fooling yourself.
That's right.
That's the invisible. But it's just as real as the visible. Matter of fact, the visible is just here for a little bit. And the invisible is going to be here forever. Are you listening to me? Now, Christians, we cannot operate on a day-to-day basis only in the ability of the sight and the pictures and the images that are transmitted through these eyeballs of ours. Somewhere along the line, we've got to be like Moses and develop an ability to moment by moment see things that other people just don't see. Okay? Because when we begin to do that, the purpose of our life changes. You know? The direction changes. What is important changes. Now let me direct your attention back to Hebrews chapter 11, because I'm going to give you a very simple outline. 3 points. I'm going to give them to you all now so you can write them down. And then we will just illustrate them. Because if you develop, you say, why is this important? Because if you develop the ability to see the invisible, to have a constant moment by moment awareness of the supernatural, folks, it will make some of the things that seem so important unimportant. And it will make some things that really ought to be important, it will elevate them to their rightful position.
Yes.
It will cause you to make decisions that you wouldn't have made before. It will cause you to set priorities that you wouldn't have set before. Amen.
Yes.
All right, now, here's what happened to Moses, verse 27. By faith, because, and we get down to the end of this verse, and we get the reason why all this has happened. You know, as seeing him who is invisible, that's how the verse ends. But by faith, three things happened in Moses' life when he developed this ability to see the invisible. Number one, he forsook Egypt.
Yes, he did.
He forsook Egypt. Number two, seeing the invisible will liquidate your fears.
Yes.
Things that keep you handcuffed because you're so fearful of the temporal. Not fearing the wrath of the king. All of a sudden, the things that he used to be so afraid of, all of a sudden he's not afraid of anymore. The thing that used to be so important to Egypt, all of a sudden it's not important anymore. Why? Because he began to cease the part of creation that you can't see. Not only that, but notice this, for he endured. Isn't that a great outline? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Seeing the invisible will cause you to forsake Egypt, Egypt being a picture of the world. Seeing the invisible will liquidate your fears. Seeing the invisible will cause you to endure as a Christian. Amen? Let's look at all these real quickly, okay? Moses is our beginning illustration and example. Seeing the invisible will cause you to forsake Egypt. Moses, if he would have kept only the ability to see things from a temporal viewpoint, would never have left Egypt to associate himself with the Israelites. I mean, the Israelites were out there in the hot, sweltering desert sun, being overworked and mistreated and abused and beaten. And the Egyptians, especially the household he was connected with, was living the life of luxury. Okay? Now, what causes this man to look at that and to look at this, and it says here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? I'll tell you why he was able to make that decision. I'll tell you why it made perfect sense to him, because he began to see something that no one else there in Egypt saw. This is just for a short time. This is going to vanish away in a few years. There's an eternity out there. There's something that y'all can't see. Are you listening to me, young people? Are you listening to me? If you're not careful, you'll get so infatuated with the things you can see. Listen, the world spends all of their time producing more toys and nicer cars and fancier boats and bigger homes. And if you're not careful, that will become so important to you that you'll forget that there's a creation that's invisible.
That's right.
God's brought me in contact with a young preacher. And I've had so much fun getting to know this guy. Really, chance meetings three different times where we got to spend some time getting to know each other and just mended our hearts together. And he just has been called to preach in the last year. I can't go into a whole lot of detail, but let me tell you this. He is a member of a family that is very, very, very successful in the entertainment business. And it is a family entertainment group. And he is a vital part of that entertainment group. They are on the verge of signing for two television programs. They are on the verge of signing some of their first big nationwide record deals. And he seen me about a year ago, and he was just torn inside out. And said, Brother Jerry, here's the situation, here's the circumstances. He said, man, I feel like I'm letting my family down. I feel like I'm letting this down. I feel like I'm letting this. I said, Brother, I'll pray for you. I said, I can't tell you what to do, but I'll pray for you. I saw him about 6 months later, equally torn up. I saw him last week in Oklahoma. And he came over with this big, goofy smile on his face. This is a young guy. He said, Brother Jerry, he said, I'm about to start a World War III, a hurricane, everything you can imagine. I said, you're going to quit, aren't you? He said, no, I'm going to join. He said, I was telling my wife the other day, he said, everybody knows wives are more spiritual than husbands. I mean, you know, guys, we might as well just admit it. Now, that's 90% of the time, that's just the way it is. But he was saying to his wife, I know the minute that I quit this group and go, and he's been offered a part-time assistant pastor job where he has to still work 20 hours a week, and he's so excited. He said, I told my wife, I was kind of weighing all the odds, and I was discouraged a little bit, and I said, I know the minute I quit this group, they're going to sign this big record deal. And she looked at him and said, well, if they do, it was just the devil.
Amen.
And if they do, so what? Wouldn't you be glad that your family's doing all right? Well, yeah. Are you called to preach or not?
Amen. That's it.
Yeah. These wives can be tough on you. Amen.
Yeah.
By the way, thank God for a wife like that.
Yes.
I pray every wife in this room would point their husband in that direction.
That's right. That's it.
And you will if you have the ability to see the invisible. Moses has lost his mind. He's run off into the wilderness with those bunch of losers. He's joined the slaves. He can see something you can't see. Seeing the invisible will cause you to forsake Egypt. Young people, let me tell you something. This is true, so I'll say it. Those of you that always wrestle with separation issues, always want to fight and fuss. Always want to have just a couple hands over here in the world. Let me tell you what your problem is. And I love you. Your problem is you haven't ever seen the invisible.
That's absolutely correct.
Now, I'm just telling you. Your problem is that your eyes are on the temporal. That's your problem. If once you see him who is invisible, that stuff doesn't amount to a hoot.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Point number one. I'm doing good. Point number two. Seeing the invisible will liquidate your fears. Can I take you to Joshua chapter number 5? Take you to two quick Bible illustrations here. A lot of you young people are either right now facing, we got a massive group of kids that are in the college age ranks and in the upper high school ranks. There's a whole lot of young people around here in the next few years going to have to make some decisions. Let me tell you the kind of decisions you're going to make. You're going to make decisions based on what you're looking at, what you can see.
Yes.
If you don't develop spiritual eyesight, you're going to make bad decisions. Sure you are. Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 13. Notice this. I like this. Joshua is getting ready in the next chapter to lead the Israelites against Jericho. This is the first big test since they've entered the land of Canaan. Joshua is a great leader. Joshua is a wise leader. In verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, I think Joshua just said, you know what, this is a big day tomorrow and everybody's looking to me and I need to spend some time with God. I'm going to go overlook the city. I'm going to spend some time with God. I'm going to try to make sure I'm doing the right thing. And all of a sudden he sees a man standing there with a sword in his hand. Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto thy servant? By the way, this was Jesus.
Yes,
so how do you know that? Because if it were an angel, it would not have accepted the worship of man.
Right.
I mean, when John fell down in front of the angel in Revelation, he just said, get up, man.
Right.
Don't you worship me. This was Jesus. I don't know if anybody was with Joshua that day. I think maybe he was by himself. There's a good chance there was someone with him. And a lot of times the servant was pretty close at hand. I'm not sure if the servant wasn't saying, who's he talking to? He's lost it, man. Whoa, he's bowing down. We're in trouble. This is the eve of the biggest battle of our country's history. And our leader's gone nuts. Would to God more leaders would go nuts like this.
Yes,
amen. Preachers talk to themselves. Preachers' wives talk to themselves even more. Sometimes you may think we've lost our mind. My wife's already given up. She doesn't even ask what I'm doing. She comes to an empty room when I'm talking. She used to say, "What?" or "Who are you?" Now she just kind of leaves. And folks, listen to me. That shouldn't be so uncommon. You see, there's a whole world that some of you have been ignoring for most of your life.
Yeah.
There's a presence that's at your elbow every minute of every day, and you haven't spoken to him in weeks. Mm-hmm. There's a part of God that's in your very body, and you haven't even said a word to him. Made every decision you've made in the last 2 years without consulting him.
Yeah.
See, there is the invisible.
Yes, there is.
The invisible. Well, where did Joshua get the courage that day at Jericho? I'll tell you where he got it. He got it the night before when he saw what was invisible. Isn't that good? 2 Kings, let's go there. So now I'm not trying to be caustic. What I'm trying to do is challenge you and shake you a little bit and get you to realize, folks, there's something bigger than what we see with these mortal eyes. Would to God we'd get on our faces and say, "Oh God, help me to see what other men don't see. Help me to hear what other men don't hear." I like this story. You know where I'm going, I think. Isn't this fun? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. Elisha is in trouble again. Most prophets are on a regular basis. He's been finding out from God all of the king of Syria's war plans and telling Israel about them in advance. So how did he do that? Oh, he was in contact with a part of creation that was invisible. Verse 13, and he said, "Go," and he tells his servant, "Go spy where he is." No, I'm sorry. This is the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And he says about Elisha, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said, "And alas, my master, how shall we do? Seeing the invisible will liquidate your fear." You don't see the, if you can't see the invisible, you're going to walk around like that all the time. Oh my goodness. How am I going to pay for college? Oh. You go to your invisible bank account. Most of the guys on this front row have one, don't you? It's the only kind of bank account you have. Listen to me. Wives, listen to me. Is that what your husband has to come home to? "Oh, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Oh, what are we gonna do? Oh." You know, it's just not men that can see the invisible. Ladies can see the invisible. Amen. Amen. We're gonna do what? Pastor wants us to do what? Amen. Elisha, in verse 16, he answered, "Fear not." Now, how can he say that? Because he's seen something.
Yep.
"For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And I love that. I can see that servant going. What two? 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. Elisha prayed. He said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes. the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. Amen. I know God doesn't want us to be cocky. But he wants us to have a quiet confidence in him. Some of you have ulcers that's working on an ulcer. Amen. You know where I want to spend my life? Right smack in the middle of where I'm supposed to be. Because if I'm right where God wants me, there's always going to be that hedge of protection around me. You want to go taking off on your own, then you're on your own. But buddy, if you stay right there, while everybody else is flipping out around you, you can just be eating breakfast and enjoying it. Amen. Let me help you with this real quick. Fear and soul winning is easily remedied by the ability to see the invisible. That's not my personality. I just can't do it. Baloney. God never commands us to do something he would not also give us the ability to do.
That's correct. Absolutely.
See, some people see the gruff exterior. Others see a human soul. Some see the present circumstances and others see the place of eternal punishment. Some see obstacles and others see opportunities. Some see the risk of momentary embarrassment. Others see the reward of eternal redemption. Some see the visible challenges and others see the invisible Christ who stands at your elbow whispering his promise afresh to you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You need to walk up to a door trembling in fear. You're an ambassador of the King of Kings.
That's right.
Amen.
So knock on that door and square your shoulders up because you're not by yourself. But you have to be able to see that which is invisible. The last point, seeing the invisible will cause you to endure. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. That'll be the last place we go, and then we'll close out the message. Somebody else had a ability to see the invisible. A man named Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. Stephen's just a lay preacher. And when they heard these things, verse 54, they were cut to their heart. He did a pretty good job of preaching, though. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Ouch! Every time I read something like that, I think, that's kind of up close and personal. You know, I think that's what it means. I mean, they grabbed him and some of them started biting him. Would you turn on the TV? I'm telling you, those folks live in the Middle East kind of kooky. You know, something goes wrong in America and we write a letter to the editor. It goes wrong over there, they go fill up bottles with gasoline and start chucking them at the police. You know, I mean, they're just a little high strung. Ow, ow, ow! You know. Now, Americans do this too, though. They just wait till you're not around. That was free. Verse 55. But he, being full of who? Visible or invisible? Did what? Looked up. Why? I mean, he needs to be looking around. These people are attacking him. What's he looking at? Visible or invisible? Isn't this good? Look up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, visible or invisible. Jesus standing on the right hand of God, visible or invisible. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Pastor, I'm so tired of being a mediocre Christian. I'm just so tired of seeming to be powerless. I'm just so tired of not really God. Then you've got to start seeing something. You've got to say, God, like Saul of Tarsus, God, take these scales and help them to fall from my eyes. Like the servant of Elisha, I'm tired of only being able to see the problems and the circumstances and the here and now. I'm tired of being pressed upon by the visible all the time. Surely there's more than this. There is more than this. And said, I like this. I just love this. So he sees it, and he tells him he sees it. He said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now that, let me tell you something that will prepare you. Say, oh, pastor, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. Okay, you get in contact with the invisible, and then you start telling people that you see the invisible, and they're going to think you're nuts. Did you hear about so-and-so? What about that? Went off the deep end. Taking this religious thing to an extreme. You know, when old boy got saved here, I heard the story just within the last few weeks. I went home and told his dad, he said, I got saved. And he said, well, I guess that's all right, but just don't go crazy with it. Just don't go crazy. I guess that's all right, but just don't go crazy with it. Don't start seeing things that aren't there. Just keep your sight on what's around us. That's how we behave ourselves. I mean, that's normal. Well, Stephen wasn't normal. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And that's it. People that can't see the invisible don't want to hear about the invisible. Cast him out of the city and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, you're going to watch Stephen here endure to the end, folks. He's going to endure. He's just going to endure. He's going to stand. And everybody in the world's going nuts around him, and you know what? He's got his eyes locked on the invisible. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The whole time this crazy temporal riot is happening around him, he's locked in on the invisible and speaking to the invisible and talking to the invisible. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And he fell asleep and went home to the invisible. Now, we've got to decide how we're going to live. There's a young lady that was born. March 24th, 1820. Her mom and dad named her Frances Jane Crosby. When she was 6 weeks old, she caught a slight cold in her eyes. Family physician was away. Another country doctor was called in to treat her. He prescribed hot mustard to be applied to her eyes, which destroyed her sight completely. It was later learned that the man was not qualified to practice medicine, but he had left the town and was never heard of again. Fanny never felt any resentment against him, but believed it was permitted by the Lord to fulfill his plan for her life. She's blind. She's blind. 6 weeks old, blind. Later on, she said this to her mother. Mother, if I had a choice, I would still choose to remain blind. For when I die, the first face I will ever see will be the face of my blessed Savior. Remarkable, remarkable person. First poem she ever wrote, age of 8. Would you listen to this? I'm going to tell you something. I got so convicted when I read this. First poem she ever wrote at age 8. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Heaven forbid that average Baptist gets a hangnail. That is God's hand. It's God's choice. It's a reason. So I'm just going to trust and find that reason. Started writing poetry. William Cullen Bryant visited the school one day. blind school she attended gave her much encouragement after chancing to read some of her verses. She said afterwards, he never knew how much he did by those few words. One day, Dr. Combs of Boston examined the heads of the blind students. As he felt her head, he exclaimed, here is a poetess. Give her every possible encouragement. Read the best books to her and teach her the finest that is in poetry. You will hear from this young lady someday. She couldn't see. Say, Pastor Jerry, it's horrible. She couldn't see. Well, let me read you some of her songs. This is kind of strange for someone who couldn't see. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view his constant smile. I thought she was blind. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Wait, I thought she was in darkness. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Clearer, brighter vision? I didn't think she had any. What about this one? Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. I thought she was blind. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. Near the cross I'll watch. Do what? I thought you had to see to watch. I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Now this is curious, isn't it? I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. I don't know if she was blind or not. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us. Maybe she was faking. With our lamps all trimmed and bright, blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. In his glory they will share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture. Now burst on my sight. Angels descending. She's seeing this. What is this? She's seeing something. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This may be the best one. Someday, the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. Someday till then, I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight, and I shall see him face to face. I think she wrote it that way on purpose. I think she'd already seen him so. So I'll see him then face to face and tell the story, saved by grace, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Can I share something with you? And this is, I don't know, I've never talked to her, but I think that her words speak loud. Oh, the poor blind girl. And I think if she could speak from heaven, she'd say, oh, you poor seeing people, so distracted constantly, every waking moment by the temporal. Oh, if you could have lived the life that I live, I didn't have to fight that. I didn't have to battle that. I mean, the only chance I ever had of seeing was seeing that which was invisible. And maybe that's why she wrote some of the most blessed songs that we sing every week, Brother Tommy, in our hymn book. You know why? Because she could see the invisible. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a gift. Because, Lord, we can't conjure this up. We're so carnal and sinful, prone to wander. Sister Fanny wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Everything that runs across in front of our eyes, we're so quick to chase. Be distracted by him. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be like Joshua tonight. You'd help us to be like Elijah's servant. Help us to be like Stephen. And you'd help us to be like Moses. You'd help us to be like Saul of Tarsus. And God, please, if you could help us for the rest of this week and in weeks to come, have the ability to see what this world cannot see. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.